It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleib, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and you and your calls, 617-779-7937. Real quick before we get to what we're going to talk about, I'm truly bummed that Norway lost in the World Cup because it had the one guy who truly has really become a fan favorite, and that would be Norwegian Gronk Erling Haaland. There's a picture that just came out of him. And
the raccoon?
he just returned to Norway, and he's walking out of the plane, and he has a bag in one hand, and the other hand is the one thing that he bought from his time in Dallas, and that is a stuffed raccoon drinking a bottle of liquor.
A whiskey raccoon from Wild Bill's, from Wild Bill's Western store in Dallas.
Oh, this is God. What Europeans think of America.
I mean, he's got that's a gorgeous, like sums it up. Louis Vuitton bag or something, like a really just gorgeous, you know, kind of carry-on with this $750 whiskey raccoon from Wild Bill's in the
awesome.
Other arm.
It's awesome. He is everything. I mean, it was funny. I was watching when I was watching that match. They had something that they flashed up there that before the World Cup, he had 20 million followers. And after the World Cup, like during that game, he had 60 million. He's become an international superstar, this guy.
But he tapped out early. Weren't you disappointed with him in that match?
They took him out. They subbed him out, which I don't know enough about soccer to understand why during those final minutes when they needed him the most, he was sitting on the bench. And maybe somebody who knows what they're talking about, I tried to look it up. I have no idea. But all I know is that up to that match, he's been unbelievable. And then, there were a bunch of clips of like him like not getting assists that were wide open.
Oh,
like,
wide open on that 2-on-1.
Yes,
that guy.
Exactly. So I don't think it's all his fault, but I just know that I don't know who to root for now with these final four because Messi's won a bunch. You know, it's almost boring to root for him. Never root for France, and I'm not going to root for England out of respect to the Scots because they were so awesome when they were here. So all that's left is Spain, and I don't know anybody on Spain, and I know nothing about it. By default, it almost seems like that's who you got to root for.
Rich, I told Ken before the show, it's just I find it interesting that the four teams that are in the finals – all right. Was it Spain, France, England,
and Argentina?
And Argentina. They before the tournament started, those were the top four ranked teams in the world soccer. Mm-hmm. And the four best teams going into the tournament are the four best teams still standing in the tournament.
Yep. And what's also wild is that I mean the matches have been pretty great. As a matter of fact, the other day we were watching. The Switzerland, I forget what it was, one that had a shootout at the end of it. And when you're watching the shootouts, as I said, anybody who's into soccer is going to be like, yeah, Rich, idiot. I don't watch a ton of soccer. And I definitely don't watch World Cup elimination soccer more than, I mean, like every 4 years I get into it again. And I forget how great these shootouts are.
Oh, they're the best.
But the one thing that fascinates me is that most of the time it's just a crapshoot. It's a 50-50 chance. Like the goalie's going to dive one way or he's going to dive the other way, and unless you shank it, you got a 50% chance of getting it in. And this survey just came out that they think that 28% of Americans think they could beat a World Cup goalkeeper.
No way, man. Dude, the nerves. I mean, how Germany was in that situation in their knockout round and nobody wanted to kick those kicks because of the pressure. Yeah. The pressure is so intense. I almost feel like the odds are favored you, you know, the person kicking the ball, like almost like 80 or 90%, but because of the nerves it becomes a 50-50 ball.
Oh yeah, no question. And the other thing too is that in some of these countries, you know, we've seen how like it means, I don't want to say life or death, but I mean there's been people who have shanked shots before who have, you know, violence has met them when they returned home. So I mean, I don't think in any of these four countries that would happen, but you know what, it's been great. I'll say this about the World Cup being in Boston, it was 10 times better than I thought it was going to be. It really was. The city was just so much fun. There were all those watching parties that were outside. People were allowed to drink on the streets in certain areas. The Scottish were amazing. You know, even the Iraqis were amazing. Mm-hmm. The Morocco fans. England were fine. They were kind of disappointing. The Norwegians were great.
Were good.
Yep. So
one hit wonder, but still great.
Yeah. And it was funny. Just all the information, the news coming out, every article I read was really a negative one going into it, I thought. I mean, you had the issue with Foxborough. In the crowd, you know, they weren't gonna, you know, provide security until they got paid. I mean, it was a lot of negative stuff. And then even the first match was kind of a disaster. And then every match after seemed to be like just, you know, it was great. And nothing, there were no issues. So, and I'm looking at the, I'm looking at a video now. They've already torn up the grass at Foxborough at Gillette. Just, oh, they're already replacing it with the artificial stuff. Which
why don't
is,
they leave it?
It looks so good. Didn't that grass look so good?
Awesome. It popped. What did you, what do you like to play on, Ted?
Oh,
like,
grass, bro. Oh, the best.
I think so.
Play
why,
on
why won't they? Yeah. Is it too expensive? Is that why they're not keeping it?
Yeah, it is. It's all it is because they want to have concerts and it's just, it just the grass gets ruined when you have concerts out there. So if all you did was play football in that stadium, you would be it would be grass. But they do so many other things that it's just easier to maintain the artificial turf because of all the concerts and all the other stuff that they do in that stadium.
But they have concerts at these soccer arenas, right? Like, I matter of fact, I thought I read something somewhere is that some of those arenas are stadiums are so state of the art that don't they have like a system that lowers the grass under the ground and there's almost like a greenhouse under and then they can cover it up? Where was it that I saw that had that? Mm. And I'm like, that is the new way. I mean, that would be the new way awesome. For American stadiums. It's probably super expensive to do it, but you know, when your team's worth $10 billion.
But there you go. It's a money thing. Trust me. Whatever the reason they put the artificial stuff in there is because they're saving money. That's why they do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just, as I said, it's been a lot of fun. Bummed that it's gone from the city, but you know, we got a couple more matches left to watch. All right, so a Bleacher Report put together on the heels of the Jaylen Brown situation, the worst trades of the 21st century since the year 2000. And there is a decent amount of New England on here. Like one so much
how
that
deep
I just
is, how deep does this go? 10, 20?
It goes 20. So I will go through the New England ones because there's some obvious ones that are, you know, all around the country. But number 16. Mookie Betts to the Dodgers.
Yeah. That's only 16?
Number six. Well, this is for everybody. This is for every sport,
okay,
like all around the country since the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And when you hear the rest of them, you'll be like, okay.
But how that's right. That's not the worst Boston trade this millennium? I mean, I don't know what else could best that.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
All right.
Wait and find out.
Number 14, Wes Welker to the Patriots. This is obviously one that worked out for the Patriots.
Okay. So Miami not all these West are bad for New England. I got you.
No. Some of them are good. Some of them are good for New England. And then you move down the list. Number 12, another one that's good for New England, Randy Moss to the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oakland sending Randy Moss to New England. And what was that, for a fourth-round pick,
fourth
I think?
Yeah, fourth round.
I still think that was my favorite Brady era, was when it was Welker, Moss, and Brady, despite, obviously, the last game of the
despite
season.
Despite never winning.
Yeah, that was quite possibly the best offense I personally have ever seen, like at a game, like going to seeing it myself. It was just an absolute machine.
23 touchdowns to Randy Moss, 50 touchdowns for the offense that year.
Oh,
crazy!
Truly one of the best. Then we go to, oh, by the way, they have Russell Wilson to the Broncos at number 9, and I can't get enough of that. That truly is one of the worst trades of all time.
That's right.
Yes. Then, okay, number 7 is Miguel Cabrera to the Tigers. And then at number 6, they've got Jaylen Brown to the 76ers.
That is not worse. So I guess it depends how you, what is the title of the headline? Because that's not worse for Boston than the Mookie trade.
It is the worst trades. Of the two of like of the century since
worst
the year
trades
2000.
Of the century.
Yep, they say the 76ers eliminated the Boston Celtics in the first round. Less than 2 months later, the Celtics traded Brown to the Sixers for a surprisingly meager return, and then they of course compare everything and just say how the hell could that have happened. Now number 5 is a trade that benefited the Celtics, and I would say that this in my lifetime might be the greatest foresight, the greatest genius. And that would be Markelle Fultz for Jason Tatum.
Yeah, you forget about that. Danny Ainge, brilliant.
I just remember when that happened, thinking to myself, there was not a player that I had heard more was a surefire generational player than Markelle Fultz.
Right.
And it's tough to remember that because he ended up being such a bust. But, Ted, do you remember before that draft, he was going to be the next big thing, right?
Did the Celtics have the number 1 overall pick?
They did.
They
traded back.
And they traded back.
Danny Ainge traded to number 3.
Dude, that is – I bet you will never see that again.
Clankers.
I bet you that'll never happen again where guys in the first spot and trades back in a NBA draft?
I do remember producing here at the time, doing weekend shows, and I remember discussing who they should take with the first-round pick, and it wasn't like a slam dunk. Tatum's name was out there, but definitely Fultz was getting all the buzz.
What am I missing? Why wouldn't Danny, I don't remember exactly the details, why wouldn't he just take Tatum number one overall? Like, why would you risk?
Because they gave up a bunch.
They gave up.
What was the, in exchange for Tatum and a future first-round pick, Philadelphia wound up with a player who's broken jumper. Oh, yeah, yeah. So they got a future first-round pick.
Okay. All right. Got you.
So, you know, that, once again, absolute genius. And I guess the way they got around that was that there were a lot of, like there was a lot of rules about scouts being able to go see it. But it was something crazy, like Danny Ainge's son had access to him because he wasn't part of the organization or something like that. He had inside info on Markelle Fultz, who obviously ended up being a complete and total bust. Total. The number four, worst trade of the century, Deshaun Watson to the Browns. How that's not number one.
Oh, it's so true.
I have no idea. Number three, and this one's pretty great, and this one also benefited New England. Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce to the Nets, which set them up. It set them up for Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. It set them up for Jason Tatum and ultimately set them up for a championship. And as much as that crushed Celtics fans, I don't think there was anybody who were crying against it because they knew their time was up.
Thanks to the Russian dude who owned the Nets who was desperate for a title at the time, right?
Prokhorov was an idiot. And now doesn't own the team anymore.
Yep.
Number two, Paul George for SGA and picks. Paul George is making his name known in this list on being on the bad side of things. And any guess as to what they believe the worst trade of the 21st century is?
Luka. Gotta be,
that's gotta be the worst one. All right, 617-779-7937. We will take your calls next. Also, this Red Sox team, are they going to buy or sell? What a weird position we find ourselves in. All of a sudden, this was a no-brainer 3 weeks ago. Yeah, get rid of everything. Get rid of everybody. Breslow, get rid of them. And now we're sitting here, and this team has been absolutely on fire. They deserve your attention. But do they deserve to have better players on this team via them buying at the trade deadline? We will take your calls and discuss that. 2 minutes, we'll be back.